Hi, I'm Cynthia Rothrock.
I'm Casper Van Dien.
Hi, this is Mike Grell, and I'm here with the Long Box guys, whoever the hell they are.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes in caves. Going to cons is our escape. It's like Mega Beach in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. Comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome again to the Long Box, guys. My name is Thomas Strange, and with me as always, some of my very best friends since I was a very small person, Mike Manning. How are you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing excellent tonight, and I am drinking a gin and tonic.
Ooh, delicious. Joshua, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I am feeling quite recovered from my earlier illness, so I have selected Sap from Treehouse Brewery in Charlton, Massachusetts. It's delicious.
It sounds good. Tommy, my little buddy, my little butterbean buddy, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing just okay, so I'm drinking water. How are you doing, Tommy?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. I'm drinking a delicious, I think this is scotch. It's brown, and it tastes delicious. I just grabbed it from my arsenal that's on the bar stool over there. Speaking of arsenals, haha, king of the segues, today we're going to be talking about Roy Harper, the once-time sidekick of the Green Arrow, who broke out, became his own man, became his own character, is one of our listeners' favorite characters of all times, we found out. So today we're going to be talking about Arsenal. Mikey, will you give us a little bit of the backstory on Arsenal?
Roy Harper first appeared in More Fun Comics in November of 1941. He was created by Mort Weisinger and George Papp. He was the sidekick to the Green Arrow and went by the moniker of Speedy. He was a member of the Seven Soldiers of Victory in the early days, but before he even became a superhero, he was trained in the skills of archery, but not by Green Arrow, but by another person. His mother and father passed away, and he was raised by a Navajo medicine man. Does anybody know that medicine man's name?
Was that Black Bow?
No.
Brown Bow? Brown Bow?
Brave Bow. You were close.
Brave Bow.
Good try.
Yeah.
So not much. Speedy didn't really have much of a personality other than just to be the plucky sidekick of the Green Arrow until the Teen Titans. He wasn't an original member of the Teen Titans, but as they were in the 60s, they were trying to spice things up. They threw Speedy in there, and Speedy was kind of the counterpoint to the other Titans. He didn't get along with everybody that well. He was kind of the hothead, as archers are typically depicted, and not much changed for him until Green Arrow lost his fortune, and that's when things took a turn for the worse. He broke up with Donna Troy. He was a member of a band. Anybody remember the band's name? Because this is how Diane stumped me at Pensacon. What was Roy Harper's band name? I only got half of it right.
I don't know. But I do remember you talking about it, but I was drinking.
So, it began with a T.
The Golden Toad?
It was the Great Frog.
The Great Frog. Oh, I was circling the drain just like LT. Golden Toad, Great Frog.
Yeah, he was the drummer for the Great Frog. Unfortunately, after Green Arrow lost his fortune and decided to basically abandon his adopted son and tool around the country with Hal Jordan, Speedy got into heroin, which he had a hard time recovering from.
Point of order, he didn't get into heroin casually because he was abandoned. He was trying to infiltrate a gang that was selling heroin, and he thought he had to use heroin to fit in. I just don't want our listeners out there to think that, you know, Roy was all of a sudden like, "Meh, I'm no longer a Teen Titan. I guess I'll try this heroin all the kids are talking about. It's supposed to be the bee's knees."
Well, you know, Roy Harper, just like Oliver Queen, is a thrill junkie, right? So he's trying to get his next fix on from adrenaline for the most part. That's how he was taught and brought up by Green Arrow. And he suffers from a lack of consistency in his own family, like his mother and father pass away, then his adopted father, Brave Bo, passes away, then Green Arrow abandons him. It's no wonder that he came from such a messed up family unit that he sought solace in drugs. So in addition to being a member of the Teen Titans, later on he ends up joining Checkmate to try to infiltrate a bunch of drug dealers. That's when he becomes Arsenal. Later on he joins the Titans, not the Teen Titans, but the Titans themselves, and founds a group of the Outsiders. There's not a lot else that goes on with him, except while he was a member of Checkmate, the most important thing that happens is he falls in love with an assassin that he's trying to capture named Cheshire, and he knocks her up. And Cheshire one day drops that baby off for him to raise, and that is his pride and joy. And he actually takes a lot of pride. Even when he's out being a member of the Outsiders, he's always thinking, I have to get back to my daughter because she is the most important person in my life. And unlike Green Arrow, Oliver Queen, he is not a shitty dad. He is actually a really good dad. But then everything turns bad. But we're not going to talk about that too much, other than to say his daughter passes away and things spiral out of control for him. And then things get even worse because the New 52 happens. In the New 52, they change around his whole backstory. They correct it when they do DC Rebirth. And right now, all you need to know about him is Roy Harper is still being called Arsenal now. He's no longer the Red Arrow or Speedy. And he is a member of the Titan. I know Josh is not going to have one. Josh, what's your
favorite? I'm going to have one.
What?
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 It's not in print, though. It is only because of Young Justice
All right. That
I love Roy Harper. And so I will forewarn everyone here, all of our listeners, if you have not seen Young Justice, first of all, what is wrong with you? Greatest superhero cartoon of all time. Don't even challenge me to a goat at some point. It is. Just get past it.
We will chip in a couple bucks. Write to us at, what's that email that he can write to, Tommy?
You bastard, at the Long Box Guys.
If you've never seen it, I will send you a dollar to help you pay to rent it.
Go watch this. But I'm going to say, spoilers ahead, Roy Harper is an intricate part of the storyline in Young Justice. He is still, at the beginning, Green Arrow's sidekick. He is a little uppity. He's got a lot of pride in what he does. He's got a huge attitude, and he pushes himself harder than any person in that series, right? He's the epitome of the I have to prove myself to other people. So Green Arrow actually gets first admitted into the Justice League, and they do not take Roy along with him. So he says, screw that, I'm not your sidekick anymore, I'm out, and he just becomes Red Arrow and goes about his business. And Green Arrow gets another sidekick who becomes a member of Young Justice. And Red Arrow decides he needs to investigate this person because there is a mole somewhere on the team, and he is desperate to find it to prove himself so he can get into the Justice League. Now, at the end of season one, we find out that Roy Harper, that we know in through the entire series, we haven't actually seen the real Roy Harper, because the one we know is a Cadmus clone who's been programmed to be the mole. He is unaware of his own subconscious programming. But at the end, he breaks his programming, and that's when he loses his arm. Luthor gives him a replacement arm that can do all sorts of magical and awesome things. And then in season two, 5 years later, he is desperately searching for the real Roy Harper to save him. So he is on a mission, a driven mission, to go back and find the person who is, in fact, the body and mind on which he is based. Besides the sort of Aquaman, Black Manta storyline in there, it's the most interesting storyline in the Young Justice in the best superhero cartoon ever. So that for that, I do love me some Roy Harper.
I did not see that one coming.
Nobody did.
Yeah.
So, there was actual passion in your voice, Josh, for somebody who shoots arrows.
Jesus Christ, will they just come out with season 3 already?
Come on, Obama.
Yeah, write that shit. Did you get George R. R. Martin to like write liner notes for this shit? How long do I have to wait?
Tommy, what's your favorite storyline or thing with everyone's second favorite Archer?
So my storyline is Justice League Rise and Fall. It is a story of the rise and fall of both Green Arrow and Roy Harper. In this storyline, Roy Harper is taken down by Prometheus. His arm is severed. Prometheus has a plan to destroy several cities. He starts with Star City, thus destroying Roy Harper's precious daughter, Leanne, setting Green Arrow on a path of vengeance. Green Arrow hunts down Prometheus and kills him outright and is on a path to kill the electrocutioner who helped Prometheus destroy most of Star City. And Roy Harper is in a hospital, near death, critical, because his arm has been severed. His arm isn't healing right because of all these nanites that were from Prometheus. And it's just this huge storyline. Roy Harper kind of gets better through the magic of comic books. Cyborg helps create a cybernetic arm for Roy that causes him great pain. And Roy goes after Electrocutioner. Green Arrow is captured by the cops. And he is brought to prison for killing Prometheus. And it's just a fantastic storyline as Roy Harper goes and hunts down Electrocutioner and is about to kill him. And he faces off with Green Arrow in the prison that Green Arrow is in while he's trying to kill Electrocutioner. And Green Arrow saves Electrocutioner. And it's facing off Archer versus Archer without the bows. And it's just a great storyline.
And Arsenal is a better fighter than Green Arrow. And Green Arrow even admits it. If they had their bows, Green Arrow thinks he could take Arsenal. But without the bows?
Without bows.
Even with only one arm, Arsenal kicks Green Arrow's ass.
So it's a great storyline. And I'm glad that Mikey didn't give too much away during his epic telling of the story of Roy Harper. All during kind of Roy Harper's hunting down of Electrocutioner, he is having these kind of – he's popping down pills to deal with the pain of losing his arm, and he's going back into using drugs. He keeps seeing a hallucination of one of his old bandmates, Cooper, from his days with his band, and he starts using heroin again, and he's beating on a gang of thugs. He takes down a drug dealer because he wants heroin. It goes into total, he just goes insane. He just goes all out.
Let me get this straight, though. We have a one-armed drummer, and they didn't make a Def Leppard parody title for that band?
If he had, instead of being called Arsenal, if they called him Pyromania? Photograph? I don't know. I don't know.
If Mute Frog would have been a better name.
Mute Frog? Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Mute Frog, Def Leppard, it would have worked.
It all would have worked.
Well, yeah, so it's just...
Frog is the opposite of leopard, right? I mean, pretty much.
They're natural enemies.
Yeah.
Frog and a leopard fight. One goes to the hospital, one goes to the morgue. Every time.
It's just a great storyline.
Tommy, that actually does sound like a great storyline. Could you send me those issue numbers?
I mean, it's collected in Justice League Rise and Fall by J.T. Krull, and I'm going to murder this name, Diogenes Neves.
Mikey, you got something to add there?
I was going to say you should probably read Cry for Justice, which sets up the whole Arsenal Rise and Fall. So it's that's a great 7-issue series, and the 4 issues of Arsenal, and then tack on the one with Green Arrow. And that's it's a complete series. It's really good. It's like the DC Comics version of Young Justice. I was trying to give you a point of reference, Josh.
Thanks.
So for my favorite run, I'm going to go all the way back to the Seven Soldiers of Victories run, which I collected. I got a bunch of the hardcovers and collected because I found some really cheap. The problem with some of the older comic books is they really didn't pay enough attention to the villains. Most of the villains are actually kind of stupid, and the storylines are a little meandering and dumb sometimes, but they're still fun comic books to read. And the Seven Soldiers of Victory have some of my favorite characters of all time, including the Shining Knight, Vigilante, Green Arrow, Crimson Avenger, and of course Speedy. I really like the Vigilante. I did not know that he was a country music singer. I know, how did we get over the Vigilante? Because we're talking about Speedy storylines. But I had no idea the stupid Vigilante was a country music singer who fought crime at night until I picked up the Seven Soldiers of Victory. A lot of those stories, they really rely on Speedy getting captured. That's a huge part of what he has to do as part of the Seven Soldiers of Victory. That's is fast. Get captured so everyone else can rally and go find him. Mike, has an add to that?
I just think it's amazing when you named off the Seven Soldiers of Victory, you named all seven of them and left out the Eighth Soldier of Victory, Wing, who is the only Asian, which even though he was in their comics and he was also a sidekick, they didn't count him.
Why would they? Wing actually doesn't show up in the first until volume 4, I think, because I haven't come across this character yet.
Yeah.
Sorry to, make your accusation that I'm a racist kind of unfounded, my friend, but yeah. I haven't seen this character Wing yet. Who's the sidekick to?
Crimson Avenger.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the other problems with Speedy is that he steals the name Speedy and forces the Flash's sidekick to be Kid Flash. And nobody likes to be called Kid, Boy, insert whatever here. Like, why as an archer did you jack that sidekick name away from the goddamn Flash? Why? Who thought of that and was like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to fuck the Flash's sidekick. That's what I'm doing. I'm taking Speedy.
He appeared 28 years before Kid Flash.
Yeah, 28 years of douchebaggery all leading up to it, Mike. The Flash was still there, though, right?
Yeah. The Flash didn't have not Barry Allen,
knew
though.
He was getting a sidekick. You knew it was going to happen, but you took the name anyway, and it had no relevance. It was just picking a goddamn name to pick a name.
So what do you want to be, Batboy, Robin? You know what? I've decided that I'm going to be Superboy. All right, Dick.
All right. Be a dick.
Dick.
I am shocked that you did not choose Snowbirds Don't Fly, or is that part of your later?
Well, we did talk about Snowbirds Don't Fly. And it's a great storyline. It's one of the ones that's one of my favorites to read, of course, and also one of the ones that I think has one of the biggest impacts in comic books. Even if you read some of the things written about it, people will say that this was a huge turning point towards more mature themes in comic books. So Snowbirds Don't Fly, absolutely one of my favorites. But we did talk about it a little bit, so I wanted to talk about some of those early iterations. And you can see them having more fun back in the Seven Soldiers of Victory. It's a lot more lighthearted and campy. I would say almost to the point of Bullwinkle and Rocky-esque, if I can verbify those two. It's just a lot of fun. And Snowbirds, that's a great comic book. Everyone should have read that by now.
And that's from the Green Lantern, Green Arrow series.
The great Green Lantern, Green Arrow series. So no one's a bigger Denny O'Neill fan than we are. Well, one guy.
Mrs. O'Neill.
Yeah. Any last words?
I got a recommendation for everybody.
Let's hear it. Come on. Let's hear Mike.
Green Arrow.
My ass.
Green God, Arrow volume. You done?
Settle down.
I'm more drink.
Settle.
Green Arrow, Volume 3, issue number 32. In this issue, Arsenal takes Oliver Queen's real son, Connor Hawk, a.k.a. Green Arrow, out to a strip club.
Oh.
And it is all about Green Arrow's two sons, his adopted son and his biological son, hanging out. And it is a pleasant tale. The dichotomy between Connor Hawk, who grew up as a monk, with Speedy, who grew up as a wealthy adrenaline junkie. It's a great issue.
I inadvertently took a friend to his first strip club. I didn't know, Mike. I didn't know it was his first. And we were just going to my sister's house, and we stopped at the Magic Lantern, and I really just tortured this poor guy. I strip club scarred him for life because I didn't know it was his first strip. I didn't know. I just assumed he was like 26. I just assumed he had been to one, and I scarred him for life by going to like the Tuesday afternoon shift at the Magic Lantern.
It wasn't a day shift, was it?
It was a day shift, yeah.
Oh,
the theme of the day is cesarean sections. One girl had one boob and a hook. She let you put your hat on it. It was weird. I've been to that show.
I regret that day for so long. I just feel bad every time.
Who was the friend?
Brad. You've met Brad. Christina's friend Brad. Redhead Brad.
Redhead Brad, okay. Brad Not finger-looking Brad, but the other Brad. I gotcha.
Yeah. Brad, if you're listening, I don't know if you listen to this, but I'm sorry, man.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I haven't said it to you before.
Remember the strip club where I faked getting poked in the eye with that stripper's heel, so we all got comped beer for the rest of the night?
Yes. Where was that?
Oh, my gosh. I have no idea. Yeah, it was terrible.
No, not the Frontier Lounge. That was the Frontier Lounge was the gay club where Pee Wee Herman used to go. The strip club was
Is it the Five Alarm?
No. Well, no, I've been to the Alarm. Wow, you're scraping the barrel, LT. I didn't even know you.
Oh no, wait. Was it the one in Holyoke that we went to where like LT?
Oh no, that's the one we took Andy to.
Yeah,
that's
the same one. Same night.
That was the same one. The pizza there, delicious.
Yeah.
I don't know why. That was Race Street. The Race Street Pub.
That was the same place where, like, none of the good-looking strippers would come over because I knew them all. Is that the one?
Yeah. Yeah, and I had the dollar box, like the glass box.
You were a substitute teacher, and, like, they had you in, like, half the classes.
Yeah.
Mr. Manning.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't Andy come out as gay, like, just a few months later?
Yeah, I think that pushed him over the edge. Like he's
like screw this
shit from you people anymore.
I want out of this lie.
So and now Andy you're welcome, is married. Andy.
You're welcome, Andy.
You're welcome, Andy. And Chris, Andy's husband, we love you. Welcome to the family. And Chris and their beautiful baby Oliver.
Yeah, have you seen him lately?
Oh my God,
Hank.
Oh.
That kid's gonna be like 6'6" as freshman year of high school. It's gonna be fantastic.
Love that kid. Such good. All right, enough about cute babies. By the way, only one of us to have their own baby is Andy, who adopted from baby.
Wow,
come on, Christopher was not baby. You can swaddle. He was past swaddling when you met Christina.
I'm just saying, there are other.
But Josh knew him as a baby.
Go by that. I knew Josh's baby the most.
Ken is breeding like the world is going to end any day now.
Ken's got like 27 kids at this point.
Oh, yeah. That's. I bet the people I was staring at.
Basically write the sequel to Oliver Twist. That guy's got so many kids.
Ken is practically in the quiver movement.
Is he breeding like
the
his own cock?
The doggers told him and his wife to slow down.
Yeah.
Well, that was great talking about Arsenal, and I hope we scratched that itch for you there to all our listeners who love Arsenal so much. And Josh, do you have a tangent for us?
I did. I forgot about it. I talked about it during the GOAT. What was it?
It was about stand-up comics, Josh.
Oh, right. Stand-up comics. They're not funny anymore.
That's what old men. That's what old men say, Josh.
No, that's what people who stare at people on TV and they're just talking about shit. And you're like, why are people laughing out loud? And you realize they're only laughing out loud because they're in the audience. They paid $100 for that ticket and they want to like surge that man's ego just so he just keeps talking so he doesn't walk out on them. They're just not goddamn funny anymore.
I disagree. And the reason why is because the last stand-up I saw was Dave Chappelle talking about the election, and it was freaking hilarious.
You mean on Netflix? On Netflix?
Yep.
I couldn't even get through it.
I didn't see the whole thing because I went and walked the dogs, but the part I did see made me laugh.
Out loud. It literally made you laugh out loud?
Made me, well,
no,
it didn't even make me watch the rest of it. But it was.
It couldn't even get you to watch the rest of the goddamn special. Like, I swear to God, dude. Stand-up comedy is dead. It's just dead.
You know, I think I did laugh out loud when Dave Chappelle was talking about the snowball incident where he was walking and him and his friend got hit by snowballs and how, like, he had the kids arrested and that whole thing.
I couldn't get through the goddamn special.
Was that in that Netflix special?
I think it was in one of the Netflix specials. I don't know if it was in the election one.
Please, sweet baby Jesus, find me a stand-up who's actually funny. Now. Like now in this decade. You're just talking to that big old black ball.
I'll tell you what, Josh. I'll send you a couple of links. Watch them. Watch 10 minutes of each. I think Ali Wong was pretty out loud funny. Ali Wong, Baby Cobra, when she's talking about her pregnancy, I thought she was pretty funny. There's a couple other new ones out there that I think are pretty funny, so I'll...
Okay. Send me your bet.
I saw Chris Hardwick doing a set along with Dana Carvey when I was out in Los Angeles filming Con Man Season 2. Yeah, it's a shameless plug for my acting career. But anyways... Yeah. I laughed out loud during that set.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was live, though, right?
That was live.
Live is different. Live.
There's an instinct. There's a push to follow the crowd and laugh out loud in response to give that guy positive feedback. Now, if you're just sitting at your TV on your couch, a tub of popcorn and a beer in your hand, you hear that stand-up, dude. You're just staring at it being like, that's funny.
You might be onto something. All right, well, that does it for our tangent. Hey, Mikey, what's at the front of the long box today?
At the front of the long box, I have the latest comic book by Robert Kirkman called Oblivion Song. What you have to imagine is that a dimension, another dimension, hits Earth at one point in a city and absorbs a whole city's worth of people into their dimension. The government is able to stop the breach of dimensions, but millions of people are lost into this new dimension. And it's about a guy trying to cross over into the dimensions and rescue people and bring them back into our dimension.
What's so bad about the other dimension?
It's filled with bugs and stuff that want to eat them.
Oh, yeah. Let's get out of there.
Yeah.
Nobody wants bugs that eat them. That's all.
Nobody wants that.
It's similar to The Walking Dead in the fact that, you know, there's a group of survivors who have been there for 5 years trying to survive the bugs that are trying to eat everybody. But it's got a lot more of a sci-fi feel to it than horror feel.
So like bugs like Starship Trooper bugs? What are we talking here?
Yes. We're talking monster bugs.
Gotcha.
They're like, damn these mosquitoes.
Yeah, I know one of the Long Box Legion, Donnie, is going to really enjoy this.
Tommy, that was a great recommendation, but you got something better at the back of the Long Box? Slappy?
I think it's probably equally as good. I've got Ocean by Warren Ellis, Chris Sprouse, and Carl Story. It is a story of, it's also sci-fi. It is about a space station orbiting Europa. And they discover a bunch of sarcophagus under the thick mantle of ice underneath the crust of Europa.
Sarcophagi. Yes. That's what he's going to correct.
Thank you. It was. I was going to say sarcophaguses is not sarcophaguses. It's
okay.
Sarcophagi.
Sarcophagus is a bunch of dead guys named Gus.
They're a bunch
of Gus,
sarcophagi.
Gus, you next to me. Yeah, Gus. All right.
Thanks, Gus.
Be great. Thanks, Gus.
They're a bunch of sarcophagi underneath the mantle vise, underneath you, the mantle vise on Europa. And they've been there for a billion years. They are holding beings that are kind of human-like, and they're trying to figure out where these people came from, what their story is, and it's kind of a story of there's a corporate station not too far away, and it's kind of a story going on between corporate weapons testing platform and pure science station, and they're both kind of trying to figure out what's going on. So there's a lot of story going on, and it's a great tale of science fiction. Very interesting story by Warren Ellis. I recommend it.
You just recommend it?
All right, I highly recommend it, Tommy. You can drink now.
Everyone drink.
Yay. I love Warren Ellis. I will probably check that out.
It's 157 pages, so it's a pretty quick read, but it was a great story.
I seem to recall that we talked about that at some other point, though. I don't know if it came up before in the front or the back of the long box, but I do remember hearing about this one once before. But it sounds good enough to bear repeating. Speaking of bearing repeating, let's get into plugs. Mike, what do you got?
Well, I'd like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing us the geek rock music we use every week. If you'd like to hear more from him, go check out kirbycracklemusic.com. For all the members of the Long Box Legion that are in the New Orleans area, Kirby Crackle will be having a concert on May 4th. It's a Friday at Southport Music Hall. Southport Music Hall, Tom, you will recognize better as being at the end of Monticello.
At the end of Monticello Avenue, sure.
Yeah. Well, it's no longer the Racketeers. It is no longer a 24-hour dive pool hall. It is actually a very nice concert venue now.
That makes me sad on a billion different levels. Do you remember what they told us the first night we got in there?
I believe you asked if it's 24 hours, why were there locks on the doors or something like that?
No, we didn't know. It didn't say like 24 hours or anything like that. There was just this big door. We walked in and it was like 2 a.m. We're like, hey, what time's last call? And the bartender goes, you know what, boy? I don't even know if that door has a lock. And the rest of the night, everyone kind of looked around to see if they knew how to lock the doors or even shut them. Two of the doors were nailed open and hadn't been shut for like 2 years. It was an awesome bar.
It's still an awesome bar, just in a different way.
Time no like change. But what doesn't change is how much I do enjoy our Twitter page, which is The Long Box Guys. Come on over to our Twitter page. We've been talking about a lot of different goofy things this week. A little bit of wrestling, a little bit of comic books, a little bit of the anti-gun movement that's been going on in the United States this week. Some great rallies over the weekend, and I hope you guys got out there for that. So check us out over at The Long Box Guys on Twitter. Tommy, what do you got to plug?
I'd like to plug geekorthodox.com, purveyors of fine T-shirts and other geeky things, including stained glass prints and Johnny Skywalker rocks glasses. Because I like the Ians and the Tammies of the Linos.
They're both great.
Yeah, if you get a chance to stay at the beer and breakfast that they run, it is great.
Top notch.
Top notch.
Oh, did you meet their dog?
Just fixed the gutters.
I did. Their little Frenchie named Magic is just a sweetheart.
They have a bear that kind of roams around outside. I named the bear Science because I pleaded with them never to let Magic and Science mix because that will not end well for Magic.
I looked for the bear. I couldn't find it. It did not come down that one day I was there.
Oh, well, that's sad. Maybe good, maybe something good, maybe something bad.
Well, I got to plug Friendly Neighborhood Comics in Bellingham, Massachusetts. If you're around this Friday, you can meet Alexa Bliss of WWE fame. She'll be there signing autographs. And this weekend, you can meet Patrick Shand, author of Breathless, Michael Moreci, artist for Black Star Renegades, and Lindsay Ellie, who will be signing copies of Gunslinger Girl. So they have signings all weekend. Come on by and enjoy the cleanest comic book shop in eastern Massachusetts, Friendly Neighborhood Comics.
I kind of like Alexa Bliss, and I have Friday up. Maybe I'll go down.
Well, come on by. You know, it's 5 minutes from my house.
5 minutes from your house? Maybe we'll play a little Star Wars? Yeah, the minis. We enjoy that. We are getting good at that. I would also like to plug our Patreon page. Go to Patreon /or/ or some kind of slash, the Long Box Guys. And every week you can listen to our extra context, which is the GOAT, greatest of all time. This week we argue about who the greatest robot in comic books ever was. I think you'll be surprised. You might not be surprised. But we do talk about a lot of cool robots, and we have fun with that.
I would like to recommend everybody go check out the Long Box Guys at Wizard World in Philadelphia, May 17th through the 20th. Not only are we going to have our own booth, but hopefully we'll be doing some panels down there.
Mike, what was this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comic books.
And Josh, we're going to be in Philadelphia. We're going to be eating those donuts. We're going to be running up. Let's not run up those stairs again.
Yeah, the stairs are, I mean, it was awesome the first time, but. I will say, wherever the donuts are, that's my sector.
Awesome. And Tommy, any last words for us?
Please give to our Patreon.
Thank you. That was very sad. I like that. And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You're going to live a lot longer. And Wakanda forever.
We melt the highway miles away like sunfire. No stopping tonight.
Can we cut that out, please?
Oh, sure. Don't worry about it.
Oh, thanks.
That's a bumper. Jamaican bobsled uterus joke. That's not going anywhere.
Jamaican bobsled uterus joke is kind of tangential to what we've been talking about. Speaking of tangents, Josh.
You wanted me to cut it out, and now you're using it as a segue?
A segue?
I didn't think you were going to use it. I thought you were going to keep it.